The app House Party is turning into a surprise hit during the pandemic. How's it score on privacy and security? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. The live video chat app House Party has been around about 4 years. Epic Games bought it last June, but the coronavirus lockdown has made it a hit. The app works like FaceTime or Zoom, but with some key differences. You start a chat room and people can drop in anytime as long as you're connected on the app. Also, there are quizzes and trivia. House Party says it's had 50 million new signups in the last 30 days. But like Zoom, with sudden growth comes sudden scrutiny. There's been a lawsuit over user data collection, questions about security, and worries that strangers could join rooms because they're open or unlocked by default. Seema Sistani is co-founder and CEO of House Party. She says, first of all, no stranger can ever join a room.
Rooms are unlocked, so to speak, but again, it's a mutual handshake. The only people who can come into a room are people who you've accepted as friends. So yes, if I open the app, my mom can just pop in. But because I've accepted her as a friend, that's a totally different thing than what's happening with Zoom, just to be clear. And yes, there is a feature, though, where you can turn on private mode, which makes all rooms locked by default. But that just would mean my mom couldn't come into my call with like my colleagues or my friends without me expressly giving her permission to do so, even though she is a friend on House Party with me. Yeah.
Okay. Do you think you might have to change any of those defaults? Or do you feel like the fact that you've already got this sort of existing layer? I mean, certainly my son has complained about his one friend jumping into the rooms all the time, but that's at least like basic social interaction stuff for teenagers.
Sure, we're all learning how to, the manners around video chat, if you will. But I mean, I think that we're always trying to be better. And private mode, for instance, the feature where you can have all your rooms locked by default is in the settings. But it's one of those things where we certainly feel like we can socialize that better. There are steps that we always want to take to continue to help people sort of bridge to new, more empathetic ways of being together, which we think, House Party is compared to some of the other tools that are out there to connect socially.
And then what about data collection? There have been concerns about the amount of data that's collected and whether it could be de-anonymized and whether it could be sold.
No, we absolutely do not sell user data. We're very clear about which data we do collect. It's detailed in our privacy policy. Just very typical things that you would expect to make your, House Party experience a success. I mean, 100% House Party does not sell user data, and we will also never run ads against your private information.
And we asked this question back in 2018. I have to ask it again. Although since then, you have been acquired by Epic Games last year. How does House Party make money?
We were monetizing through our games. So there, when you're in House Party, you can play fun games like trivia with your friends. And, it was really important to us that the way that we monetize gives value back to the users. At the end of the day, that's who we're building this experience for. Now, since we were acquired by Epic Games and because of everything that was happening, we actually made all our games free. That's one of the really great things about teaming up with Epic, who's the creator of Fortnite, that, we've just been able to help even more people connect with their friends and family and have these like really fun experiences.
Do you think, will House Party always be separate, or do you think that Epic will eventually integrate some of the technology into the game experience?
Well, we are operating as a standalone unit now, but, we've been able to rely on all of the great sort of expertise and learnings from Epic. And, that's been critical to us being able to, stand up the system while we've experienced all this growth. But yeah, I mean, we did announce Party Hub last year. Now I'm losing track of time in the middle of this sort of endless shelter in place. But that's one of the initiatives that we've worked on together. I mean, at the end of the day, Epic and House Party have a very much a shared mission and alignment around trying to build participation-based social experiences.
So it sounds like House Party, for good or for ill for you, you're not going to be expected to generate ginormous revenue within Epic Games necessarily. Is that fair?
That's a fair statement. The app is free and we don't have an advertising model.
Got it. And now all the games are free, but not forever.
They're definitely free right now. We haven't thought that far into the future, but we wanted to do the right thing in the circumstances to make it easy for people to connect and have fun.
What do you think happens in the future how do you sort of plan to keep all of those 50 million new signups once people eventually do go back to work or school or in-person baby showers?
I don't think about that. If you're Netflix, if you're Charmin, if you're House Party, I can't wait for us to go back to normal, if you will, right? And I expect that things will look a lot different as they do for me in all different types of habits and things that I've been forming outside of my online usage. Like, so for instance, we shamefully got away from doing family dinners, and suddenly now we are back to having family dinners. And when we kind of go back to our commutes and our jobs, I expect that we'll continue to prioritize family dinners. And the thing that I do hope comes from this is that people have taken away this greater kindness and joy and empathy about the way that they want to connect with people online. And I hope that that's a habit that continues.
It's also a little bit of, much needed competition in social media and messaging space? I feel like all the players had felt essentially set, and now there's a new conversation a little bit.
I think that's right. I think companies are getting into the space, and which justifies the mission that House Party has, and around face-to-face interaction. And the more people, if we can be the ones leading in that space and bringing us to that more empathetic, non-highlight reel engagement for engagement's sake version of social, I think we can, all be in sort of a better place.
Seema Sistani is co-founder and CEO of House Party. In response to the privacy lawsuit filed in California, the company said in a statement that it was, quote, meritless. And now for some related links. There's more reading on the privacy lawsuit at our website, marketplacetech.org. It alleges that the feature that lets House Party users connect their Facebook account to the app handed over information like IP address, time zone details, and the unique advertising identifier that's on everyone's smartphone. However, MediaPost.com notes that judges have previously ruled that those identifiers don't actually constitute personally identifiable information because it's not that easy to connect them to someone's name. And the California privacy law refers specifically to data breaches of sensitive personal data. This is a good time to note, though, that those advertising identifiers are also what various companies are using to track how well states and cities are social distancing. Remember that Unicast map released about a month ago? And Apple and Google use similar technology. On that note, and what else we're watching in tech, CNET reported Monday that Apple and Google have made changes to the contact tracing tools that they announced in partnership earlier this month. The changes are designed to make those apps more private. They won't be enabled by default, is the first thing. You'll have to specifically opt in. The companies are upgrading the encryption on the information they capture, and they say they'll protect details about individual devices, like the phone model or even the signal strength. The report also notes that a rebrand is in order because apparently contact tracing sounds a little too Big Brother. So now they're going to call it exposure notification, which I'm sorry, but changing the name to sound less creepy just makes it seem more creepy. Like, come on. So now you're saying we've always been at war with East Asia? Okay. Meanwhile, lawmakers are starting to make worried noises about this project as well. And they're asking the administration to limit how much data can be collected by the new apps, which are scheduled to launch in mid-May. Senator Mark Warner of Virginia said that since tech companies have been working to get into the health sector for so long, he's particularly concerned that an app like this could be cover for future data sharing. We'll see if these new changes make lawmakers more comfortable, let alone users. As it happens, the National Health Service in the UK announced Monday it will not use the Apple Google contact tracing or exposure notification app. But ironically, it's because the UK wants a more centralized database of information about potentially infected citizens. And Apple and Google apparently said that carried a greater privacy risk. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.